Psalm 46, verses 1 through 5. And I'd like you to think about the times that we're living in right now in regard to these verses of Scripture. I'll read them without stopping as best as I can. And then we'll come back and glean some really good things out of it. I have it in the New Living Translation, but I know we don't have that in the computer. You got it? Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Starting in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. And so we need not fear, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. There is a river of joy flowing through the city of our God, the sacred home of the God above all gods. God himself is living in that city. Therefore it stands unmoved despite the turmoil everywhere. He will not delay his help. Now, this is going to be as short as I can make it because I want to make sure that we have everything else that's going to happen that's not yet. Number one, God is our refuge and strength. Somebody brought up Psalm 91, verse 1. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. When I think of a refuge, I think of a place of safety, protection. When we worked on a golf course in Florida, it was called Eagle Creek. And there were bald eagles. It was a bald eagle sanctuary. And it was the one place that just seems like those birds would just come there and know that they were safe. There's poachers in Florida that will kill anything just because that's in their spirit to do it. Alligators, protected species. But the refuge was a place they knew in that 300 acres that it was a safe place. And we know in the Lord, I showed you that picture of my bubble boy thing. This is very real to me because from the time I leave our house, it takes me a long time to get there. I left our house. It was right after lunch, and I drove down to Tom's. And it was so that was an hour. Then another 3 hours down to Logan Airport. 5 hours sitting in the airport. An 8.5 hour flight to Frankfurt. 5 more hours sitting in the airport, then a 10.5 hour flight to Bangalore, and an out processing and waiting for my ride another 2 hours after that, and that was all continuous travel. Strength. I know that in my physical strength, I can do certain things, but I had to ask Jesse to help with the air conditioners 2 weeks ago because I can't lift them up off the floor anymore like I used to. And I asked Jesse and Andy to do that. But when it comes to traveling, there's another kind of strength that I need, the endurance. I found out all the new airplanes, the seats are getting smaller, and they tell you to put your carry-on bag underneath the seat in front of you, fully knowing your knees are going to be up to your ears because if you put it under the seat, there's no place for your feet. So you have to sit in a very confined area. So I'm relating this in the whole setting of refuge and strength. It takes strength. Strength is also a meaning of endurance. How long can you go? How long can you do? How long can you sustain? What will it take? Well, it takes greater strength than I have in my physical body. Let's put it that way. A tested help in times of trouble. I flew right over Iran on the second part of the trip, right over the war that's going on in Israel right now. They just didn't fire any bigger missiles at aircraft. They were firing at each other, Israel and Hamas. But I didn't sense any danger. I can't explain that. So I won't. I just All I can say is I thank you all for praying before I left. And that was the last time. That was the last time I revisited that. I remember us all praying together. And you shipped me out of here, and I went. And with a safe return. And so we need not fear, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. We're living in an age where we have a very fast news media that want to show you the horrors of war even before the bodies are cold. It didn't used to be that way. War correspondents, you saw it maybe days after, but no, in your face with the body count and all the blood and gore. But I think the bigger scene is they want to desensitize us to the horrors of what man does to his fellow man, to the point where, that's over there. You know, that's in Israel. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. There is a river of joy flowing through the city of our God. And here's where I want to see if you can catch where I'm coming from. Because the clues are here, the sacred home of the God above all gods. Who dwells in you as a believer? I would like to make a point that we are the city of God. We are where God dwells in temples not made with hands. And that river is the river of the Holy Spirit. And when I came in this morning, I said to Ken, you stole part of my opening scripture because you got two songs on the list about a river. We talk like that all the time between us. I like the song list. But that river that flows through the city of God is a river of joy. It's a river of life. It's a river of healing. It's a river of deliverance. And everywhere that river flows, it brings life to everything that comes in contact with us. You are a life-giving Christian because you have the river of life in you and it flows out of it. Every time you speak, rivers of living water come out of your mouth. Every time you pray, every time you speak, you're still carrying that river of life and it makes glad the city of God. We came together with a lot of prayer and a lot of things. It could almost be heavy in our hearts, you know, like a heaviness that because we have a sensitivity that the Holy Spirit gives us. But when we pray, sometimes it almost seems humorous when we pray because we pray in joy. We pray in gladness because we know who's dwelling on the inside of us. And maybe today with the scripture, that may reinforce that to give you encouragement when you don't have a whole room full of people to come alongside of you. We're all sitting in here together right now, but the enemy likes to isolate us. Yeah, and when you're alone, and you may not feel like maybe the river's stopped up or something, you know, you need to give it a good enema and get rid of it. And it's, whoosh, let that sucker flow. Was that... Oh my God, I better stop before we do the next song. I apologize, but I don't. Because some things stop up the river, okay? You with me now in that regard? Okay, God himself is living in that city. That's you. And so when all of these, everything is in chaos and turmoil around us, whether it's worldwide or nationwide or statewide or community-wide or maybe even in our own households, there are mountains crumbling and things are falling apart in some people's lives and even in the life of our brothers and sisters. Something is happening. But you know what? It's this river. God himself is living in that city. He's living in you. And that should make all the difference. Let it make all the difference. Otherwise, you know what we do. We have pity parties and we invite me, myself, and I. And it's a really miserable party when you get to think about it because nobody can help each other when we're in that state. Therefore, it stands unmoved. Hello? How many times have we read unmovable, unshakable? Because we stand on a firm foundation. Our firm foundation is Jesus Christ and he's the cornerstone of the church. He's the firm foundation on which the church is built. That's the Bible church, not the building. Despite the turmoil everywhere, he will not delay his help. These are promises that we have from him, from the scriptures. And then I don't know if this one got pulled up or not, but it reminded me, this is the one that you don't have to pay for. This is the bonus pack. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. And this was the conversation Jesus had with his disciples. He had asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And some say you're a prophet, some say you're this, some say you're Joseph's son. But Peter, verse 16, answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this is really significant. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." What was the revelation? That Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And what happened as a result of that? "And I say also unto you that you are Peter, upon this rock." He's not saying he's going to build anything on Peter. The rock was Peter's revelation, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's the foundation on which the biblical body of Christ, the Church of the living God, was founded on, that revelation and that truth, and that's why it will never be destroyed.
Hallelujah.
We can build all kinds of buildings, and they can go down in a flood, they can perish in a volcano or a hurricane or a storm, but the Church of the living God, that ain't going to happen. Because, listen to the rest of this, "Upon this rock I will build my church." It's going to be you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Everyone in this room, every born-again believer all over the world is part of that church. And it says, "And the gates of hell will or shall not prevail against it." And that's the good news. And when I brought you those pictures, those people are taking their stand on scriptures like this. So I wanted to use those to illustrate this. In spite of the calamities that came upon them, they did not let it overpower them and overcome them and defeat them and cause to shrink back and hide in their houses. Well, they can't call each other. They can't text. They just suffer. But they know this truth. They are so adamant about that new faith that they have. Muslims, if they find out their neighbors got saved, they usually will find a way to cut their heads off before they get to live their salvation very long. Hindus will come and burn your house down when they find out you got saved. So that's the pressure. So when they get saved, this is where they're coming from. All of this calamity all around them, whether they live or die, they've come to that place where the kingdom of God is never going to be destroyed. It will stand forever. So rejoice today. Be glad you're a part of it. In the next song about the river we do, dance and jump and shout. I want to hear a tambourine, at least one, to let me know that I came back to find you all alive.